Chapter 11, After the War. Finally, the war was over, and both men had survived. However, their futures looked quite different. Joe Louis had been the world heavyweight champion for almost a decade, and there was still nobody who could beat him. The champion had not seen combat, but he had spent most of the war collecting money for the army and helping to raise US morale. He returned to an America that had grown stronger and richer during the war and was now celebrating its victory. The US had grown richer, but Joe had not. He had been unable to make much money during the war, but had carried on spending just as always. There was always a friend who needed a loan, or a stranger that asked for a few dollars. Joe had never learned to say no. It was a terrible decision not to pay his income tax when he joined the army, because by the end of the war, his debt had grown. The IRS was even taxing him on his winnings from the Buddy Bear fight, money which he had donated to the US Army. Joe could still beat any boxer alive, but he knew that at 31 years old, he was not the same man who had defeated Max Schmeling 7 years before. He moved more slowly, and he enjoyed training much less than when he was younger. He owed both Mike Jacobs and the US government a lot of money, but was still confident he could earn it back and put a few dollars away before he retired. For Max, the future looked even less optimistic. He returned to a vanquished Germany, and at the age of 40, nobody was going to give him another shot at the title. Many Americans, including Joe Louis, still remembered the pictures of him in Nazi uniform, and he was not allowed to enter the US. Nevertheless, he returned to boxing, because he had no other options. Max surprised several younger boxers. He was older and slower, but still had an extremely powerful punch. However, after 5 fights, which included 3 wins and 2 losses, he finally hung up his gloves in October 1948. Max had made enough money from these fights to buy a farm, where he kept minks, grew tobacco, and soon he became a rich man. His fortunes improved further when an old American friend granted him the franchise to market Coca-Cola in West Germany. By the 1950s, he was already a multimillionaire. Back in the United States, Joe was still struggling to pay his debts. His fights brought in a lot of money, but after Joe had paid his managers, trainers, and other staff, there was nothing left, and his debts grew and grew. Joe was also looking for a way out. In March 1949, after a record-breaking 25 title defenses, he announced his retirement. The plan was for him to make money by allowing 4 of the world's best boxers to fight for his title. After Joe's almost 12 years of dominating the world of heavyweight boxing, Ezzard Charles was the new champion. Then, Joe did something that almost every ex-heavyweight champion had done before him. He tried to make a comeback. Unfortunately, no boxer had ever succeeded, and Joe was not the exception. He lost to Charles in 1950, and then when Rocky Marciano became world champion a year later, he lost to him too. Marciano was a great boxer, but everyone knew that he could never have defeated Joe in his prime. Joe had always been Rocky's hero, and Rocky remembered hearing his fight against Max Schmeling that night in 1938, when he was still a kid. After he had defeated Joe, Rocky went back to his changing room and cried. Joe had been knocked out of the ring, and his boxing career was over. He had earned more than $4.6 million, about $40 million in today's money. But as he lay there trying to breathe, all he had left were debts. Never again would one of the greatest boxers of all time fight competitively.